John 10, verse 27. We'll be looking at the 28th verse also. We've been talking about prayer. We've been talking about prayer, and we titled the whole series, Delightful Prayer. Delightful. Prayer is to be a delightful thing. It's not to be a burden. It's not to be a religious obligation. It's not to be punishment. Have you ever heard of anybody punishing their children by making them learn Bible verses? Now, it's good to make your children learn Bible verses, but I don't punish children that way. How are they going to view the Word of God? As punishment. People say, you got to go pray. Say 1,500 Hail Marys. Say 3,200 or Our Fathers, and you'll get victory. Well, that doesn't work that way. That's punishment. We don't do that. And we want you to get into a place where prayer is communication. Prayer is talking with God. Prayer is trusting God, believing God, and just communing with Him. The Bible says, beneath the wings of the cherubim. Those cherubim had wings that came together like, it says, beneath the wings of the cherubim on the kapora. English Bible calls it a mercy seat, and we've never quite been able to figure out where they got that. It's the word we get propitiation from. The propitiation. The mercy seat is what we've known it as, but it's really the kapora. It's the lid. And God says, it's the place I'll meet with you. I'll meet with you there. I don't know if you know where that is nowadays. Everybody got to know where that dwelling place is now? Tammy knows. Tammy's right on top of things. I'll tell you, she doesn't wait around. Everybody else sits and looks at me like a calf looking at a new gate, you know? It's after 10. You're wide awake. Where is the mercy seat today? In your heart. God meets with you inside. That's why, technically, it's not incorrect to pray with your head bowed. Why? Because I'm looking inside, not because I'm looking down to try to be non-distracted. It's just a recognition that He's there. He's there. I've had preacher friends that I'm sure that they thought He was at least 7 septillion miles away, because they talk louder than I do on a cell phone. And it's all right to talk loud if you're just being emphatic. I might do a little of it today, but it's not because I'm trying to get God's attention. I'm not trying to get your attention either. If I am, I'll have you stand up or something. If I see you nod off, I'll pay somebody next to you to keep you awake. Amen. John 10:27, because this is a part of prayer that we begin to understand is missing in most people's lives. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How many of you believe that? You believe Jesus said it? You believe it's true? Now, in manifestation, how's it going? How's that going with you? Are you hearing like you want to hear?
Better.
Praise God. And it helps to talk about it, doesn't it? Did you know that in churches where people talk about getting saved all the time, lots of people get saved? In churches where people talk about getting saved and getting healed all the time, lots of people get saved and get healed. In churches where people talk about the provision of God, people start believing God that He'll supply all of their needs. What we talk about is what we get. Why? Because faith come by and ad infinitum. It just goes on and on. You need to continue to hear. Be a hearer. Have hearing ears. That's what we want the sheep to have. I'm a sheep. I hear His voice. I know Him, and He knows me, and I follow Him. Amen? And He says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I want you to know God speaks. God's speaking today. God's going to speak to some of you today. You're going to hear Him. You're going to begin to hear Him clearly. There is going to be a separating, a dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit in this house today. You're going to not come to me, as people do often, and say, I just can't tell what's me and what's God. Any of you ever have that problem? What's me and what's God? I hear voices sometimes, but I want to make sure it's God's voice. Well, I've got a hearing aid for you. We began to talk about it last week. But before we talk about the hearing aid so much, let me give you Luke 8:18. And we'll give it to you from the New Living Translation, even though you'll see it on the screen and in King James. It says, so be sure. So be sure. Take heed. So be sure to pay attention to what you hear. To those who are open to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But to those who are not listening, even what they think they have will be taken away from them. It's important to hear. Do you want what you have taken away from you? You need to be hearing if you want to keep that from happening. God speaks. He wants all believers. He wants me to hear. He wants you to hear. But in order to hear, we have to first make a choice to hear, don't we? We need to make a lot of choices. We need to choose to hear. Now that's just one choice. I choose to hear you, Father. I choose to hear you. I will set my ear toward you. But then we've got to make a place for hearing. And I believe sometimes that means shut off the other noise. How many of you know that we live in a noisy place? Now some of you that are visiting from cities, or I don't know, you guys live in a city or you live out, oh, so you don't know about cities either. Well, Winter Park's plenty noisy, especially in the middle of the night when the train goes through, right? Yeah. We need to shut off the noise. I used to have a kind of a running controversy with my sister when we were growing up because she listened to the radio all night long. She kept her radio on all night long. This is back a couple of years ago, you know. I grew up 2 or 3 years ago, something like that. And I'd go in, you know, I'd sneak into her room at night and she'd be really sawing logs, you know. I click that radio off and get out of there. Because even in my room sometimes, which was down the hall and across the other way, I could still hear that noise. I turn it off. She would wake up and turn it back on. Either that or she just did it in her sleep. It would always be back on. And you know, some of us have gotten to a place where that's all we want is some kind of noise going on in our ears. We are a restless people. Did you know that? We need activity. And, you know, we talk about it. This is, all, by the way, I mentioned ADHD. I'm not so sure that's not some psychiatrist's dream, you know, a bad one. You know, they used to control things a lot different when I was in school. You know, they really did. Coaches probably know a little bit about this. I don't know. Maybe you have to coach with a lot different respect level now than we used to. My coach used to make sure I paid attention. If I didn't pay attention, I paid. You understand what I'm saying? And I think sometimes we've become so permissive and we've gotten so Freudian in our approach. And every child has to be a winner. Did you know that nowadays? Do all your kids have to win? Does everybody make the team? Of course not. But you know, you enter into any small thing, every kid has to make the team and get a ribbon. What are we teaching our children? Good or bad? I know I could be getting on some toes by talking this way, but it's not good. You know, our worth is not in the fact that we made the team. I made the team and I sat the bench. An awful lot. A lot more than I wanted to. But you know what? My worth was not because I was a great athlete. Your worth is not because you're a great athlete. Your worth is not because you've accomplished things in life. Your worth is because God has called you worthy. And He has a plan for you. And one of the problems is we've got all of the things with great merit in just one little bucket. And there's a lot of things that have tremendous merit in God's sight that everybody ignores. Amen or oh me. We need to begin to look at things in a different light. It's time for us to pay attention. See, one of the problems that comes out, we've gotten to the place where we excuse things because somebody told us. My daughter was telling one of her child's teachers, this is a kid that's borderline genius level, but they say he's He's ADHD. They've got to get him medicated. She's taken him to two doctors. And both doctors say, phooey. We're not putting him on any medication. He's fine. He just is undisciplined. The Bible talks about discipline. Benjamin Spock didn't like it. You all know Ben. That's not Mr. Spock with the pointed ears. Benjamin Spock. And he has affected the entire, certainly the world, but mostly the United States, with the hogwash of permissive training. And so what we say is humiliating to children is what God says will train them. John Stocker got to talking about this a few years ago, and somebody from Channel 9 or Channel 7 picked up on it, and it went all over the place that John Stocker, Pastor John Stocker from Resurrection Fellowship in Loveland, big church, that he was a child abuser. Wasn't politically correct, but you know we need to hear? Say, I need to hear. My children need to hear. I need to train them to have hearing ears. But we have choices. We've got to make a choice. I've got to decide I'll hear. Then I've got to shut things off, turn things off, and get away from the noise sometimes so that I can hear. You know, I found that as I've done that, I've trained myself to be able to hear better in the midst of turmoil. But for a long time, I couldn't hear at all unless it was quiet. Now I can hear in the midst of turmoil, at least a lot better. And then we need to activate our ears to hear. And we activate them with spiritual tools, spiritual things, spiritual callings. We activate our ears by prayer, by talking to God and then listening, by speaking in tongues and then interpreting. We hear. You can do it. And then once we hear, that we have a choice, and that is to obey. Many people have heard God pretty well in some area and then chosen not to obey. God's not talking to them much anymore. He's still waiting for them to get back and do what He told them to do. You believe that? I believe it with all my heart. There are hindrances to hearing. Unbelief is one of the biggest hindrances, and that is people don't think they can. I've had people tell me, I can't hear. I can't hear what God says. I can't hear Him. And you know, as far as they're concerned, that's written in stone and they never will hear. And you know, the Bible says signs follow them that believe, not them that don't believe. We need to believe. We need to develop a believing spirit. And that's the second one. We need to develop our spirit, period. We have taken great pains to develop our minds. Oh, boy. All education is mental, isn't it? How much spiritual education do you have in your curriculum? Well, if you're in a Christian school, you have some because the Word of God's there. But even in Christian schools or home education, you still can suffer with the fact that it's hard to get the spiritual part of it going. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, about how to keep it going. Do you know you can read the Word and read it all the way through and not do it spiritually? I know some people do. Our seminaries are filled with this stuff. People that know, they can quote. They can critically evaluate. They know about homiletics and hermetology. Not herpetology. They may know about that too. Hermeneutics is really what it is, not hermetology. We said that another thing that hinders us from hearing is unforgiveness. That may be the most devastating of all. To hold unforgiveness in your heart is a sure way to harden the heart. And so I'm talking to somebody today. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart today, and you know who you are, you need to make a choice today that I will forgive. Somebody said, I've tried, but I couldn't forget. Well, I don't believe you'll ever find in the Bible where it says forgive and forget. Anybody got a verse for forgive and forget? Let me tell you what it says. It said, God has forgiven our sin and remembers them no more. That also is a choice. God, by His great love and mercy, who can't forget anything, chooses not to remember our sins against us. You can do that. I said, you can do that. And that's a choice. You decide to do it. If we don't do it, we'll have the next step in it, and that's called calluses. A calloused conscience. The conscience is the means by which the Holy Spirit works in us. Our conscience is that part of us that we hear that voice behind us saying, don't go that way. Don't do that. Turn that off. You ever hear that voice? You override that, and you know what you're doing? You're forming another layer of insensitivity. We can't do that. And finally, one of the worst hindrances is just neglect. We just neglect to do it. We just neglect God. Now, last week we talked about what the first hearing aid, or the first part of our hearing aid, is. And that is, this is a supernatural hearing aid. It's the Word of God. The Word of God. And we discovered this is what the Word of God does for us. And we had scripture for all of them. You're welcome to pick up the CD from last week, or you're also welcome to look at these online. They will be up there. They may not be up there right now, but they will be soon. But this is at livingwordcf.org. You'll find all of these messages put up. But number one, the Word of God heals. The Word of God heals. The Bible said in Psalm 107, verse 20, that He sent His Word and healed them. The Word of God quickens us. Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is alive and powerful. Did you know Yeshua said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life? And that's why Yeshua could say, Talitha kumi. And she got up, because His words were life. Isn't that neat? Your words have life. Your words are containers for life or death. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Choose you today who you will serve. Amen? Praise God. The Word of God will strengthen us. The Word of God's powerful. The Word of God will give us power. It'll make you strong. The Word of God gives us understanding. And it delivers us. The Word of God, this was all last week's message. The Word of God cleanses us. Just to hear the Word, just what you're hearing here this morning, it's just like a washing going over you. You say, I didn't understand what you said, Pastor. It's all right. You'll get it next time. It's just washing you right now. There's a cleansing going on in this place from being in the Word. That's one of the reasons we need to be under the sound of the Word a lot. We need to make sure that we go places where the Word's spoken. So much the more as you see the day approaching. It's amazing to me how spiritual people can ignore that. I don't know how you can do it. You want to gather together more. Henrietta said to me as we read through this last week, we were reading that scripture in Hebrews again last week. And she said, you know, as in Hebrews 10, she says, you know, we still don't do that very well. We're still not doing that very well. We're not coming together more and more as we see the day approaching. Can you see the all capitals D-A-Y approaching? Say, Yeshua, come quickly. He's coming soon. Somebody said, well, you know, I've been hearing this for 30 years. Well, I've been hearing it longer than that. I started hearing this, really hearing it with my ears when in about 1954. That's when I started hearing it. And He hadn't come yet. And so, here's what the Scripture says will happen. It says people will say, they've been saying that for a long time. He delays His coming. But He said, when men say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. For as a thief cometh in the night, so the Son of Man will come. I don't know about you, but I believe the days are short. You believe that? Let me proclaim it. The days are short. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. The Word of God sanctifies us. It sets us apart unto God. It's a sanctifying effect. He sanctifies and cleanses us, Ephesians 5:26 says, by the washing of water, by the Word. Think about it. And finally, the Word of God saves our souls. Somebody said, oh yes, I know that. I got saved because of the Word. No, I'm not talking about just your salvation. I'm talking about the saving of your soul. And I'm going to surprise some of you here today and maybe even make some of you disturbed. But I'm going to tell you, your soul's not saved yet. I said, your soul's not saved yet. How do I know that? Because the Bible says, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. It's talking about your mind, your will, and your emotions. And I don't know if you know it or not, but that's still attached to the carnal part of you. And the Bible says it needs to be renewed. It's not saved yet. It will be. Praise God. It's all going to get together one of these days. Your spirit's born again. Everything's new. And it's if you let the spirit man reign in your life, it'll begin to reach out into that soulish nature of you. And the soul will be saved. But that's what the Word of God will do for you. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word. That means something a little different than just the Word, doesn't it? If it's engrafted, what is it? It's plugged in, right? It's starting to gain life. It's starting to spread life throughout you. Now, that was the 7 points that we finished last week. Now let's talk about how the Word of God is an aid to our hearing. How does the Word of God, you know, God's clear about this. He tells us that it helps us to hear, to have His Word in us. Let the Word dwell in you richly. With all wisdom, His Word says. Let it dwell in you richly. How many of you think the Word dwells in you richly? Good. I'll tell you what. I used to think it was richer in me than it was. I used to think, you know, because I can just stand up and start quoting the Word of God. But you know what? There's a lot of the Word I don't have yet. Did you know that the average Hebrew child who really goes through Hebrew school, goes to the yeshiva regularly, what can he do? He can what?
Quote the Torah?
He can quote the Torah. Oftentimes they can quote nearly the whole Tanakh. Is that right? Yeah. How many Gentile children do you know that do that? How many Gentile adults do you know that do that? We don't very much, do you? And yet the Bible says that actually we've been delivered from the Gentile mind. We've been grafted in. I believe we need to be doing more about the psalm that says, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I believe we need to be doing more about letting the word dwell in us richly with all wisdom. The Bible, or the Torah, first point, teaches God's instruction. The whole Bible is full of its instruction. Somebody said, but don't you know that the Old Testament passed away? I defy you to show me that scripture. In fact, you just disagreed with Jesus. Jesus said, not one yod. Anybody know what a yod looks like? Somebody draw me a yod. Yep. It's the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Looks like an apostrophe. And it has a yuh sound. It's a yod. A yod. Not one stroke. Anybody know what the stroke looks like? It comes up off the end of the yod. A little flip. A stroke. Not one will pass away from the law till all be fulfilled. How many of you think all of the Old Testament is fulfilled? Well, you know better than that, don't you? Now, understand this. That there are things that have passed away. The sacrificial system of bulls and goats. In fact, the whole temple has changed, hasn't it? Those things have passed away, but the Bible is very clear on what has changed. But it's amazing to me that people will do this and they'll say, well, everything in the Old Testament passed away when it didn't at all. In fact, the instruction about moving property lines is still believed by our government. You're not supposed to move property markers. Did you know that? The system of marriage and a man leaving his father and mother and cleaving to his wife. Did you know that's before the law, but it's part of the Torah? Amen. All kinds of things. Treating an elder with respect. That's completely lost nowadays. We had some kids that came up from the South one time and they called every woman Miss before her first name, which I thought was, you know, kind of refreshing to hear. You don't hear that much anymore. And they never called anybody by their first name. If they talked to me, it was always Pastor Terry. And that was not my demand. That was their parents that had hidden that into them, burned it into them. They believed that they were supposed to. We don't respect adults anymore. That's part of the instruction of God. You say, but well, I'm grown up now. I don't have to do that. No. The Bible never said you quit. He says when a hoary-headed man, the King James calls it. Anybody know what a hoary-headed man looks like? What does it look like? Looks like my beard. It's white, isn't it? It's a white-headed man comes into the room. You shall stand in his presence. You shall stand in his presence. We were in a church in Grenada, and when we would walk through the back door to minister in that church, the whole congregation just stood up. They were standing for an elder. They weren't standing for royalty. They were standing for eldership. They believe that part. But it's amazing how we pick and choose Torah. We believe the Torah around here, don't we? But we pick and choose what we want to believe. We pick and choose what's important. And we do believe that the feasts are important. We believe that feast days should be honored. But you know, you can't just take parts of it out and then not study to find out what the rest of it is. You understand what I'm saying? That's where we get into presumption. That's where we get into foolishness. The Bible teaches us the basic doctrines or instructions of God. Paul told Timothy, he said, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Somebody said, well, he learned them from Paul. Well, he did, but he learned them from God, didn't he? That's what he's really saying here. In the 15th verse he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." 16th verse says, "All scripture." Say all scripture.
All scripture.
What scripture?
All.
Where does it start? Somebody help me. Where does scripture start? Genesis 1:1. Where does it end? Revelation. Somebody help me. Is it 22? The last verse of the Bible. One fellow said, "I believe it from Genesis to maps." It's the Word. That's Torah. That's the Torah. Say Torah once. You know, that's a beautiful word, but it's gotten a bad stigma attached with it. People thought Torah, that means law. Doesn't mean law. It never meant law. God says it means instruction. Is there law in the instructions? Yes. Just like there are rules, regulations, there are commandments, but it's not all law. In fact, the Bible tells us there's even two different kinds of law. There's the law of sin and death and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But nobody's ever going to convince me that this word is not complete and true. It's God's revelation to us. And you need every bit of it. And you need to apply every bit of it. All scripture is given by inspiration. That means it's God-breathed. God-breathed. Breath comes from what word in the Hebrew? What word is that? Breath? Ruach. The Ruach. And the Ruach is the breath of God. The wind of God. The Spirit of God is the Ruach, isn't it? And it says it's given by the breath of God, and it's profitable. Say, look at your Bible. Say, this is profitable. There's great profit here. This is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof. Anybody know what reproof is? Anybody need any? Yep. Reproving is good, isn't it? It says, stop that. Don't do that. Do this. What's correction then? It's a minor difference. Correction's what we think of, or what I think of when I'm riding on an airplane and I feel the plane go just a little bit this way. Just a little bit that way. Have you ever felt that when you're flying? You can just feel the plane just take a minor correction. Do we need them? All the time. All the time. And for instruction in righteousness. Teaches us His doctrines. I like to say it like this. Kind of lets me know what God's voice sounds like. The Word. You know some people like this, don't you? That they just, you can just tell they're in the Word by the way they talk. They're in the Word. They talk the Word. If they don't quote the Word, they're still talking things that go along with the Word of God. It fits. They know their Father's voice. Number two, the Word of God tunes your spirit. Tunes your spirit. Do you ever play without tuning a little bit? Don't you almost always have to tune up a little?
Always.
Always. Yeah, when he gets up here, he's got a little electronic tuner. You know what we used to use to tune things? Yeah, a little tuning fork. Yeah, a pitchfork. Get it right or else. Yeah. But you know, a tuning fork, if you tap it and then stand it down, why, it just puts out that perfect vibration for the note you're trying to tune. You know what I want to have? I want to have God's tuning fork working in me, and I believe the Word of God is His tuning fork so that I have perfect pitch. Do you want to have perfect pitch? You know what perfect pitch is? Colleen, sing a C.
Kind of embarrassing.
Well, now, Colleen. But it's a fact. Some people have it. And if you check them out, they'll be right on it. The right number of vibrations. I want it with the Word of God. I want it with the voice of... I want to hear Him so clearly, so acutely. I believe it'd be like what Adam had in the garden. When he talked to his Abba. Clarity. You say, yes, but God was there. No, He wasn't there. God was operating in the same way He operates now. He wasn't right there in the garden with Adam any more than He's right here with us. And He is, but not in a physical sense. But Adam could hear Him clearly. God said, Adam, I want you to go forth and multiply and replenish the earth. Adam, I want you to have dominion in this earth. Everything here will be under your feet. And Adam heard Him clearly. And Adam knew it. In fact, Adam called everything what they were. Did you ever think of that? God didn't name the animals. Adam did. I don't know if He named them Lepidoptera. You know, I kind of doubt it. Sounds a little Latin to me, doesn't it, to you? But God gave Adam that honor. I also know they didn't sound like Oog and Booga. Because I don't believe Adam was a caveman, do you? He talked with God. What stopped it was that Adam let the created take dominion over him and sold out and committed high treason against God by giving his dominion over into the hands of Hasatan, the Satan. That's what did it. And from then on, Adam couldn't hear anymore. Adam couldn't hear clearly. Adam ran and hid from God instead of running to God and saying, I blew it. I want to hear clearly. And the Word of God tunes your spirit. Give us perfect pitch. John 16:13 says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into, listen to me now, He will guide you into what? He'll guide you into a little bit of truth. All truth. All truth. How many of you have ever heard this? Well, the church will never agree on everything. You ever hear that? You know, we'll always have disagreements in the church. Wherever there's people, there's always be disagreements. And they're right today. But did you know the Bible says that He's coming to perfect the church under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah? One day we'll hear Him clearly. I believe we're the things that's holding it back, not God. We're slow. We're slow to listen. He'll guide you into all truth. I like John 14:26 about this. It says, but the Comforter, the Paraclete is the Greek word for it, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And he'll bring to your remembrance whatever I have said unto you. What has he said unto you? How many of you can remember everything he said to you? You can't, can you? But what has he said to you? What would you, how would you just classify what he said to us in general? What has he said to us? Pick up your Bible. Look at your Bible. Say, this book's profitable. This is profitable. This is what he said to us. Every word in this, Yeshua spoke. Did you know that? This is all from him. He is the Word of God. More than just a written word, a living word. Amen? And so this is where it comes from. He says, I'll bring all things to your remembrance what I've said to you. I've had it happen in some dynamic cases sometimes. You probably have too. Where you needed something. You needed something to say to someone. And you just looked up and said, I don't know what to say. Father, what shall I say? And all of a sudden, you knew the word. You knew the thing to say. You knew what needed to be said at that moment. That's the Holy Spirit working. He wants to do it more. If you want to begin, we'll just take a break here and just tell you how you can begin to use God's Word to tune your spirit. Because there's some things that just can't be shortcut. Everybody wants a shortcut. I want the drive-up window, Pastor. I'll drive through. If you don't mind, I'll get it quick and we'll go out and we'll be on our way. No. Some things take time. How many know that? Some things require systematic attention. And one of them is the way you study God's Word. The way you read God's Word. How many of you have been involved in the read through in the year thing? Here's the problem with it. Not that it's too much at all. It's not fast. In fact, 3 chapters a day, every day, and 5 chapters on Shabbat will get you through in 1 year. Do you know that? How many knows how long it takes to read a chapter average? The average chapter takes a moderate speed reader 5 minutes. Now, the one thing I recommend that you do is read it out loud. You say, I can't do that on the airplane. Well, you can move your lips. You can mutter. Say, but you know, my teacher in school told me to read silently. I think the devil got into education a long time ago. We need to read where we can hear. Because you've got 2 ears, you know. You've got an outer ear that hears what's going on the outside, but you've also got an inner ear that hears what you say. You need to read it out loud. Read through the Word, but don't read for speed. Read to understand. Take your time. You'd be amazed how quickly you can get through 3 chapters, 4 chapters. On our calendar that we've sold here for the last few years, if you read the readings on that, which are the Torah portions for each week, plus the New Testament readings, you will have read the entire New Testament and all of the Torah in 1 year. Now, the only thing you'd have to do is make room for the prophets and the writings of Scripture. And that wouldn't be too hard to do. And that's what we do. That's the way we're reading through always the Torah portion and the New Testament reading that goes along with that calendar. It's an excellent way to do it. You have to read systematically. Do you know 2 Timothy 2:15? Are you familiar with that scripture? I'll bet every one of you here maybe even memorized it. How many of you know that scripture? How many of you know that most translations say give diligence, and therefore somebody said, well, it's not really talking about just study. Well, I want you to read the whole context of it and tell me what it's talking about. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Is it talking about study? The Jews call it drash. Drash. We call it midrash here when we get together and study the word of God and talk about it. No, it's talking about being diligent in the word of God. And there's no shortcut to that. How many know that? How many of you are right up to date on your Bible reading? How many of you read it enough? Well, none of us do we? Because how much is enough? Who is the one that decided reading it through once a year was enough? They say. The great they. Somebody told us it was. I don't know how much is enough, but I know one thing. The Bible says, in His law, in His Torah, you will meditate day and night. And if you do that, you'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. We like that in Hebrew because the Bible says that you're to do it, see if I can remember, Yomam Valayla. Yomam Valayla. Yomam, Yom is day. Yomam is daily. And Valayla is and all night. And at night. Day and night, read the Word of God. How would you do that? I mean, how would you do that? Here, I got an idea. Here, I'll get a USB port. There. We're set now. I can keep it right before me. No, you can't do it that way, can you? So what do? You read systematically, and once you've read, you meditate. Somebody demonstrate meditation for me. Can anybody demonstrate it? I want to tell you how most people think it is. Wrong. That's not meditation. Meditation, according to the word that is used for meditation, is to mutter. Any of you do that? Keith, do you ever talk to yourself? Only when you want to listen to something really intelligent, right?
Yeah,
when you need a good answer, right. The Bible says, talk to yourself. Talk to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Make melody in your heart to the Lord. Well, that's all about meditation. You all know the best way to memorize Scripture, don't you? What's the best way to memorize? It is repetition, but there's a quicker way, and that's to sing it. Put it into a little melody. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For, brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but to love one another. Isn't that amazing? Two verses you didn't ever know before, but you could sing it. And it's amazing how quick you can get it. That's why David knew so much of the Word of God. He always kept his guitar handy, didn't he? Always playing out some of the Word. But it's not just enough to read. How many of you have ever said this? I can't understand this. You ever read a part and say, I don't know what this is talking about. I can't understand this. Or people come to me sometimes and say, I can't understand the Word of God. And if they think they can understand, they're concerned about the rightly dividing the Word of truth. Did you know there's a problem with that? People don't divide it properly. They don't understand it because all they've done is read it with the soulish man. Some people say, I just don't have time for the Word. How many of you have ever said that? How many of you here are busy? Could I see the hands of the busy people here? Well, I command you in Jesus' name to stop it. God didn't tell us to be busy. He told us to be productive. And I have to tell you that I think our busyness is what's thwarting our productiveness. We're busy about a lot of things. Martha, Martha! Do you remember Jesus saying that? You're busy about many things, but Mary hath chosen the one thing that's important, and it'll not be taken from her. We've become human doings, not human beings. And we think we're busy when all we... Listen to me now. You want to have some extra time? Get home. You sit down. When you do what you normally do, don't pick up the remote. Don't pick up the magazine. Don't boot up the computer. You say, but there's just not time. What would you give up for eternal life? We have life in the Word of God. that life's in His Son. What would you give? Would you give up a meal? I would. I would. You need to read God's Word spiritually. Remember I talked about the great academies and the great seminaries where people know the Word of God, but all they know is the written Word? We're supposed to know more than the written, aren't we? We're supposed to read spiritually. That means with great attentiveness. That means with an openness, open ears, to hear what the Spirit of God says. And I don't know about you, but I like to say, God, what does that mean? I don't understand. Would you explain this to me, Father? You ever talk to God like that? I do. Who else am I going to get? Now, sometimes He does it through someone else. I've been amazed through my life, you know, that I'll get something I'm really meditating on. I'm wondering about it. And I go someplace and I walk into a church and the pastor doesn't know me and he'll begin to preach on that subject. You ever have that happen? Has that happened to you? It's nice to have that happen because sometimes preachers are answering a lot of questions no one's asking. Right? I like to be hearing what God's saying and answering questions that everybody's asking. Read attentively. Read with open ears. Read out loud and ask questions. Psalm 119 verse 18 says, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, out of thy Torah, out of thy instruction, out of thy teaching." And as you read, believe. How many people take time to really believe what you just read? I read something sometime and I'll say, I used to do this a lot. Oh, well, that's back in the Old Testament. I can't do that now. Wait a second, not so fast. Ask the Lord, am I supposed to do this still? When did all this dietary change come about? God had a pretty strict dietary setup, didn't He? He said, now, some things are food and we call those clean. Other things are not food and we call those unclean. Does that mean that the unclean are unnecessary? Of course not. I'm glad there's buzzards, but I don't want to eat one. What do buzzards do? They eat up dead things, don't they? Things that have died on the earth. So do pigs. It's just so you'll know it. A pig has 23 feet of small intestine. A cow has over 75 feet of small intestine. Which one do you think does a better job of processing the toxins and filtering them out? Think about it. See, some of these things, we don't understand it, but just because someone said, well, you know, we're no longer under the law, let's go. No, there's some things that were meant to be food and some things that weren't meant to be food. Some of you may have heard the doctor that was on TV for a while talking about lobsters. You like lobster and drawn butter? Lobster and drawn butter. Crab legs. Would you be surprised to know that according to this doctor, who is a scientist, I'm not, he says they're of the cockroach family. Do you like boiled cockroach legs? I don't know if he's right or not, but I do know that these animals also scour the bottom of the sea and clean it up. A clam filters, I forget how many gallons, 50 gallons a day, I believe, of seawater. Filters it. So if there's anything bad in it, where's it going to be? In a clam, right? Going to be inside that clam or that oyster. That was free of charge. I'm not charging anybody for dietary counsel today. And some of you may not have received this revelation yet, but you can say, Pastor Terry sure planted a seed, right? He planted a seed. So read spiritually, and as you read, believe. Be expectant. Believe, hey, this is God's Word. Lord, I expect to get something out of this. I expect to understand. You didn't put this here and hide it. God didn't write the Apocrypha. That means hidden. He wrote the Apocalypse, the Revelation. Amen? The Word is the Revelation. Now, some things are deeper than other things. Some things are just out in the open and easy to see, and some have to be hunted for like treasure. But this is how the Bible can help you. How do you read expectantly? I want to tell you what I don't like to do. I don't like to get into too relaxed a position to read. Have you ever had this problem? It's time to read the Word. Pretty soon you're off. I had a good friend that said he always used to fall asleep when he'd read the Word. He said, I'd just fall asleep. So he said, I just went in the bathroom. And he said, I climbed up on the side of the bathtub. And he said, I stood there right on the side of the bathtub. And he said, I began to read. He said, I never fell asleep doing that. You know, sometimes we have to do something. Pick a position. You want to learn something, sit up straight. Stand at attention. Act like it's important. In Ezra and Nehemiah's day, they read the entire Torah with the people standing, men, women, and children. Oh, Pastor, you've gone on now for nearly 50 minutes and we're getting tired and it's dinner time and I've got miles to go before I sleep. Oh, that's not Scripture. That's Robert Frost, isn't it? As you read, believe, and be expectant, take notes. Write in the Word. Do you ever write in your Word? Oh, I write. I see something, I write. I make little marks and exclamation points and circles. This isn't my study Bible, but my study Bible's falling apart because of all the stuff. That's all right. You don't have to honor the Word and act like it can't be touched. Now, don't add anything to it. You know what I'm saying? Don't say, yeah, this means the... You know, don't do that. Or don't scratch big portions of it out because you don't like it. But write in it. Keep a journal. And then when you begin to do that, you'll be amazed how one Scripture will remind you of something else. You say, wait a second. Just the other day I was reading over here. Wow! They're together. It's exciting. And pretty soon, you'll like the Word. You know, it's kind of like popcorn. Somebody say, you want popcorn? Nah, I don't think I'll have any. Try one piece. Then what? Can't stop, right? It's like those potato chips, you can't eat just one. They give you an appetite. And so does the Word of God. The Word of God causes us to have a hunger for what God's doing and what He says. Amen? That's just some little points about how you can make use of this aid, this hearing aid. You need to begin to do it. The Bible confirms, this is going back to our other steps. Now, the Bible confirms the Spirit's leading. In Psalm 19:7, listen to this now. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Now, when I said law, let's substitute the correct word for it. The Torah, the instruction of the Lord, is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The 8th verse says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And then if you jump down to the 11th verse, it says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. You ever get a warning from the Word of God that's made you sit up and say, whoa, I just talked to you about when Ezra and Nehemiah read the entire Torah to the people. Do you know what happened to them? When they got to a certain part, they began to tear their clothes. They began to throw dust on their heads and they began to repent in mass because the Word had gotten so far from them, they didn't realize that that's why they had been in captivity, why God had sent them into captivity. And then they saw it and they repented. By them the servant is warned. It'll confirm what the Spirit of God's been telling you. And in keeping them there is great reward. See? Prosperous. Reward. It's a good place to get, isn't it? D. The Word of God washes your inner man. We already talked about this a little bit last week, but let's go over it again. Christ also loved the church, Ephesians 5:25 says. Christ loved the church. I'm starting in the middle of the verse. And He gave Himself for it, that He might present it unto Himself, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But it says that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. And we've said this, That isn't the same as understanding. Cleansing sometimes is just absolutely washing off the dirt. You live in this world and you get worldly. You need to get it washed off. Dan told the story one time, because we also believe that there's an appropriate use of the hand washing ceremony. I believe there's an appropriate use of it. I believe it can be very easily legalized, where we get into bondage, as the Pharisees did. And yet, Yeshua did it. He washed his hands. You know he did. But there is a ceremonial washing, which is a representation. Or, as he said about the Lord's Supper, do it to remember. All of these things help us to remember. And so as I wash my hands off and I say, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, Melech haolam, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu, al natila yadayim. And I've just said, blessed are you, Yahweh our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us through your word, through your commandments, and by the blood of Yeshua the Messiah. I've added that in. I didn't actually say that in Hebrew. And who commands us concerning the lifting of the hands. Now, to a Jew, the lifting of the hands is to wash the hands, because you wash the hands before you lift them to the Lord. You wash them. But what does the Bible say? Who shall ascend into his holy hill? Who shall make entrance into his temple? He who hath clean hands and a pure heart. And so it is with the cleansing of the word. Jesus said in John 15:3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I like this one a lot. This is the next step. The word of God is a devil beater. Do you like to beat the devil? I like to beat him. I like to really torment him. Because he's been tormenting all this time and tormented and put everybody in bondage to the fear of death. And the word of God spoken in his ears is like people taking their fingers on a blackboard and scratching. Oh, spiritually it does it to him. I believe that. The word of God is powerful to defeat. And who can ever forget Jesus when he stood being tempted of the devil? That Jesus didn't pray when the devil tempted him. Jesus didn't praise when the devil tempted him. Jesus didn't bind and loose when the devil tempted him. What did he do? He used his sword. He spoke the word of God. He said what the word of God says. And what was it about? What was the devil trying to do? Does anybody ever really read what the temptation was? There were really three parts to it: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But there was one thing in every one of those temptations that came out. If, what was his word? If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Cast yourself down. Bow and worship me, and I'll give you dominion over everything. It was all about, if you're the Son of God, you can do this. How did Yeshua answer everyone? He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord, and him only shalt thou serve. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Quoting what? Torah. Quoting the word of God. Actually, out of the Torah. Every one of those scriptures comes out of the Torah. He defeated the devil with it. Have any of you ever been tempted about if you're really saved? Has the devil ever said to you, you know, you're not really saved. You're not born again. You aren't saved. Nobody here but me. I'm the only guy that's ever been tempted about my salvation. You know, I have people come to me all the time. They think they've committed the unpardonable sin because they feel so lost. Here's a problem, folks. That's the devil. That's the voice of the devil. He'll say, you're not saved. Or if you're believing for your healing, if any of you ever had to, you'll never get your healing. You ever had the devil tell you that? You'll never be healed from this. Oh, yeah. What do you do? Well, if you're smart, you'll just laugh like crazy at him. Say, well, listen to this. The Word of God says, by His stripes I was healed. I'm not going to get it. I've already got it. I'm the healed of God. I'm healed right now. I'm not trying to get healed. I'm the healed, and I'm going to start walking in its manifestation any moment now. Amen? You can defeat him with the Word of God. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. It's a pretty good one to answer him with, isn't it, when he says you're not saved? And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. We talked about the sword of the Spirit just a minute ago in Ephesians 16. What is the sword of the Spirit? Somebody tell me quickly.
The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God.
There you go. See, we always stop too quick. Because there's a verse division there. We think it's just the Word of God. It's not just the Word of God. It's the Word of God praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Holy Ghost. Verse 18 says that. See it? Praying always. Well, see, that wasn't written originally with a verse marking there. You know that? It was written just like I quoted it. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Holy Ghost. Saying what the Word says as you speak before God. Confessing your faith before Him. Telling Him what His Word says. Coming against the enemy with what the Word says. Amen? Finally, we're done. Everybody ready for the final?
Yes.
Ta-da-da-da. The Word of God feeds your spirit. You believe that?
Yes.
The Word of God is food. It's food. I can tell. Most of us don't skip many meals. Right? I say, right? Any of you skipping many meals? How many of you spent 40 days fasting recently? Not me. But I'm going to tell you something. You need to get true food into your life. True food into your spirit. The true food. When Jesus told the devil, man shall not live by bread alone in Matthew 4:4 and in Luke, He says, man shall not live by bread alone, when He said it's written, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Where did He get that? Where did Jesus get that? How did He know that? Man shall not live by bread alone. How did He know that? Because it's Torah. Deuteronomy 8:3. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, and He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, out of the mouth of Yahweh, doth man live. That's the key. It's food. Could you give up a meal if you didn't have time so that you could get a meal? Sometimes I feel like someone that's spent all day or maybe all week getting a big feast ready. Get it all ready. Get it all ready. And very few come. Do you know how Mom used to feel when she fixed a big dinner and people were late or they didn't come home at all? In my house, you would only do that about once. Because my mom was big. She was about 5'2". But she was big. And you didn't skip her meals when she prepared them. Sometimes I feel like I prepared them, but the attitude of people is, I've got something better to do. I know I bought 2 yoke of oxen, and I have to go try them and see if they're good. I bought a piece of ground, and I have to go look at it. Oh, I've married a wife, and I cannot come. You all know that scripture, don't you? Jesus talked about the people that wouldn't come to His feast because of those reasons. One preacher I know calls that sermon, 2 nitwits and a henpecked husband. They couldn't come. Man doesn't live by bread alone. He lives by the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, I want you to read this out loud with me. And I want you to see what you get out of it. And this is it. All, out loud, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What do you get out of that? Drash with me. Give me a little midrash. What do you get out of those two scriptures? We talked about bread. The words that proceed out of the mouth of God are what we live by. Can you see that what this says is we get our perfectly balanced diet through the Word of God. Get everything you need. Everything you need. Let's stand together. You know, my aim here is not to give you something that you can just go home and say, well, you know, I got that one. My aim here is to stir you up, to inspire you to start listening for God's voice. My aim and my goal here is for change in every one of our lives, that each one of us will change in major ways, but maybe even more in those little ways, those things that draw us closer and that we'll hear better, that we'll become hearers of the Word of God, and that we'll use the Word of God for what it is. Not just some book. This is God's Word. This is God's Word, and we're going to hide it in our heart. We're going to get it inside of us so that we'll be a people of God, and that we'll walk as He walks, and talk as He talks, and act as He acts. And Yeshua said, "The works that I do shall you do also. These works and greater works shall you do, because I go to my Father." And He went around teaching the Word of God, and preaching the kingdom of God, and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Can we do less when He said we're going to do more? Think about it. This is what I want for you, is that you hear and do. So Father, this day, Lord, as we stand in Your presence, Lord, we all need help in this. None of us have arrived. None of us are where we need to be. And every one of us, Lord, needs Your help. But Lord, we have the instruction from the Word of God that we can choose to follow. And this day, we're making a choice. You need to do this yourself. You can't just listen to my prayer. Say, I choose. I choose to hear You. I choose to follow You. I choose to obey. I choose to hear. And I believe You will. So Father, as we've asked You, as we've made choices in Your presence today, Father, we ask for the help of the Holy Spirit to keep us in line, to reprove us by Your Word, to correct us by Your Word, to instruct us so that we may walk in the fullness of everything You have for us, Lord, because the kingdom of God is within us. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Not just in word, but in power. Lord, we choose this way today. And we thank You today, Father, that You're touching every person that's here with an awareness that we not only can hear the Word of God, but we're supposed to. And we will. We'll hear from You. And we thank You for it. In the name of Yeshua. And now if you'll lift your hands one more time. Just put your hands in the air. God told Aaron, He said, if you will speak this blessing on My people, I will put My name on them. I believe, just as you're engraved in God's hand, that God wants you to be deeply engraved with Him, with His name. Now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Yeshua. And if you received it, say, Amen.